The text is the gospel reading from St. Luke. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Here ends our text. The Got Milk ad campaign has been very successful. It's short, it's memorable, and it promotes the product. The Dairy Association took the campaign international. That's when they discovered they had a problem. The billboards that ask "Got Milk" in English, in Spanish ask, "Are you lactating?" So, with our text, it exposes our problem with miracles. Just what do we think of when asked, "Got miracles?" There are 2 miracles in the text, the expected one and the unexpected one. The unexpected one is the lepers being healed. Leprosy is an infectious disease caused by a bacterium. It affects the skin and nerves so that bit by bit parts of the body die and fall off. I don't think it's too strong to say that almost nobody expected to be healed from leprosy. The leper was regarded as one already dead because there was no known cure. The rabbinic writings have no medical or magical cures or even suggestions to treat the symptoms. Not even the 10 lepers came to Jesus for healing. They come to him as Master, not as Lord, not as Christ, not as Son of David. They don't ask for healing, but mercy. Contrast that to the leper in Luke 5. Dr. Luke tells us that that man had an advanced case of leprosy, and he asked not for mercy, which could be shown in many different ways. He asked to be made clean from the disease, and he didn't call Jesus Master, but Lord. Still, all 10 of the lepers were cleansed. Jesus gave the command, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And with that command, there was an implied promise of healing. The priests were the ones who could admit the leper back into the worship life of the church. They had the official duty to declare if someone was over leprosy. There were many skin conditions that were similar to leprosy, which people did get over. By commanding them to go show yourselves to the priest, Jesus is promising that those priests will find them healed. They come to Jesus for mercy, and he promised healing. The 10 believed the promise and did what Jesus told them to do, and behold, they were healed. As they head for the priest, decaying flesh grows pink and warm, missing fingers, lips, and earlobes are restored, the stench of rotten flesh is gone. This is far more than they expected when they asked for mercy. This was the unexpected miracle. There was an expected one too. The expected miracle was the creation of saving faith in those lepers. Conversion, spiritual healing, that's no less a miracle than the physical one of cleansing from leprosy. As a leper's flesh is diseased, decaying, and dying, so is the sinner's soul. As a leper is helpless over against his physical disease, so a sinner is helpless over against his spiritual disease. As a leper couldn't help himself be cleansed in any way, so a sinner can't help himself be saved in any way. Jesus must do both all by himself. Jesus expected the miracle of conversion. When the one leper returned, Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed?" Jesus asked that in such a way that we know he expects a yes answer. So if all 10 were cleansed, where are the 9? Jesus asked. was this foreigner the only one who got what Jesus was, that got that Jesus was God in flesh and blood? And make no mistake, that is the faith that the Samaritan came back with. We read, when he saw he was healed, he came back praising God. And where does the text say he went? He threw himself at Jesus' feet. And what does Jesus say to him? He doesn't say what that insert says. He does not say, your faith has made you well. He says, your faith has saved you. That's what Jesus expected to happen in the case of all 10 of them. By Jesus doing what only God can do, heal leprosy, they should have correctly concluded that Jesus is God and he is able to heal them from far more than leprosy. Can you imagine the discussion among the lepers on their way to the priest once they were healed? Well, we have to do as he commanded. We got to go to the priest first. The law requires us to go to the priest. We can't go back and thank him. Some thought they were healed because they did as Jesus commanded them. The Samaritan realized they were healed by the power of Jesus. Jesus had not said, you will be healed if you go show yourself to the priest. He had said, go show yourself to the priest, which implied they would be healed by the time they got there. When they were, the Samaritan is moved to return to Jesus in thanksgiving. Why? Well, as a Samaritan, he couldn't be received back into the church through the Jewish ceremonial law. In fact, pious Jews would regard him as much of an outcast without leprosy as he was with leprosy. In fact, his fellow lepers would have had nothing more to do with him once they were all healed. The Samaritan sees that in Jesus, he has fellowship with the true God. Jesus expected the same miracle of conversion to happen with those other Jewish lepers. He was the fulfillment of their Old Testament faith. It was through him that they had access to and acceptance by God. But they labored under the law, still believing that in keeping its rituals, they had access to God. How about you? Do you have access to and acceptance by God? You certainly do if you have miracles. So, got miracles? That's the question this text and every miracle text pose. I've been a pastor for 24 years. I have not seen one disfigured cancer patient made whole. I have not seen one withered hand restored. I have not even seen one patch of psoriasis miraculously healed. The Pentecostals, the name it, claim it crowd, and my own flesh, well, they expect such miracles. But they should be unexpected ones. Nowhere does Jesus promise that everyone or anyone I pray for will be healed. Jesus himself didn't heal every leper, every illness. In fact, Jesus leaves areas even when there are more people there to be healed. Scripture shows that God is able to heal people, but it also shows us that we aren't to expect that. Jacob is left with his limp. Paul is left with a thorn in his flesh. Paul doesn't heal the sick slave from Philippi. John the Baptist isn't raised from the dead. Not even Jesus' stepfather Joseph is raised. Not only are we not promised healings, we are in fact promised afflictions, persecution, and death. We are appointed, says Romans, as sheep to be slaughtered. We aren't to expect the miracle of physical healing, but we are to expect spiritual healing. The Holy Spirit makes a point in the text of telling us Jesus is journeying to Jerusalem. Now, he does not think that we've forgotten that since he told us four chapters earlier. No, he wants us to remember why Jesus goes to Jerusalem. He goes to be rejected by the church, to be executed by the state, and to rise again on the third day. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to get you spiritual healing. Now, if you don't get physical healing, you might die. But without spiritual healing, you die forever. That's the second death. The first death physical death, well, that's unavoidable. Hebrews 9 says, it is appointed for a man to die once. Unavoidable. But the second death, dying in hell eternally, well, that's avoidable. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to rescue you from leprosy, from a leprosy that will devour your flesh forever. He goes bearing the sins of the world. If he has the world's sins, then he certainly has all of your sins too. That sin that bugs you so much, that sin that worries you so much, that sin that haunts your secret thoughts and dreams, well, that is on Jesus as he heads towards Jerusalem. And that sin is also going to be on Jesus as he's nailed to the cross. It's going to be there when the Father pours forth all of his righteous wrath. It's going to be there when he lets loose all the torments of hell against his Son. Your sins, and especially that sin, will be on the body and blood of Jesus till he declares, it is finished. Jesus is going to declare he's done paying for your sin, that sin that makes you feel like a disfigured leper, that sin you remember virtually every time you say, I, a poor, miserable sinner. God the Son says of that sin, it's paid for. But what about God the Father? Well, he declares he agrees by raising Jesus from the dead. By raising Jesus from the dead, God the Father declares he knows of no sin anymore by anyone that is not paid for. You've been healed. You've been forgiven of all your sins. The law of God that hung over your head constantly accusing you has been fulfilled, has been satisfied, has been kept by Jesus. Go show yourself to your harshest critic. Show yourself to that person who cannot forgive you. Show yourself to that devil who always accuses you. Show yourself to your tender conscience that pricks you. And know that even they can't find one single sin of yours that Jesus did not already suffer for, did not already die for, did not already satisfy the wrath of God for. Know that they cannot point to one law of God that you need to keep before you can go to heaven because Jesus kept them all already. Know that although these will never believe you are really forgiven, you are to believe what Jesus says. That's the miracle you got. Though most of the world, though all devils, and though even your own sinful nature does not believe Jesus really saved you, really healed you from your spiritual leprosy, you do. As a leper returned to Jesus giving thanks, so you return to Jesus here giving thanks. Though most of the world does not see that Jesus is even here or worth returning to, you do. As the leper threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him for the miracle, so you do that here. The Greek word for thanks is Eucharist. The text says, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and Eucharisted him. Paul calls Holy Communion a Eucharist, a thanksgiving. We thank Jesus for eternally healing our body and blood by returning here to eat and drink his body and blood. Expect this miracle. Expect that as often as you confess your sins, Jesus is faithful and just and will forgive them. Expect that you will always find here a gracious God and Savior in Jesus. Expect that he will never fail to be present in flesh and blood to receive your thanks. Got miracles? You bet you do. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.